May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. The Lord's just been speaking to me again about this whole thing about holy sequence, that first things have to come first. Our tendency is one of the skip steps and to, in terms of who God is, there's always an in the beginning and everything has to build on that. God's a God of foundation. And so he's often bringing things in order, like in the book of Acts when he reestablished Matthias. There had to be 12. The 12 represents government. Government talks about the foundation of the apostles and prophets the whole church is built on. So getting first things first was important to the Lord, bringing things into holy order for him to be able to pour out his Holy Spirit, for him to be able to bless at the level that he wants to bless. Let me just encourage you in this too, because most of us are CTKers, not all of us. Don't ever get discouraged if you come here and there's a very few people. That's not what this is about. Years ago, in the midst of all this that we saw God starting to do about 5 years ago, that I let that concern me off and on. And the Lord said, they're not here for you or to make you feel good, and you're not here for them. He said, you're here for me and they're here for me. And the only thing you need to understand is I'm here in the most tangible way that's inexplicable. I believe that with all my heart. Now, I don't understand why people, wherever there's Eucharist being offered, aren't rushing by the thousands. If they knew Jesus was going to show up at the mall looking like the Jesus they think he looks like, they would all it's the same thing. But this has always been a furnace for the revival in Selma. Always will be. Always will be. And it was for years when nobody was showing up but the priest and Bill and a couple of other people. It was always that true. So don't ever get concerned about that. Amen? Amen. And you're going to encounter God's presence here all the time. But when Jesus came, his ministry was the same ministry as John the Baptist and the same ministry as the apostles in the book of Acts. I was thinking about the very end of the book of Acts sort of reiterates that when Paul's imprisoned under house arrest. And it says in verse 30 of the last chapter of Acts, and he stayed 2 full years in his own rented quarters and was welcoming all who came to him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching concerning the Lord Jesus Christ with all openness and unhindered. Remember it says in the book of Acts in the first chapter, it says that Jesus spent those 40 days between resurrection and ascension. He spent 40 days talking to them of things about the kingdom. When John the Baptist came, he came announcing, repent, for the kingdom of heaven's here. It says in Mark 15 that Jesus' ministry was repent, for the kingdom of heaven is now squeezing, pressing, it's here. That was always the promise in the Old Testament, is the coming of the King, the Messiah, and the kingdom of heaven coming down in a very powerful and tangible way to the earth. So that was always the message, and there's a place in Daniel and again in Revelation, it says like God's heart, as the invasion began, as Jesus announced the invasion, that as the invasion began, is that ultimately the kingdom of this earth will all become part of the kingdoms of our God. And so, we were looking at the temptation of Christ in the 40 days, but there was something about it the other day when I was looking at it that just kind of grabbed my attention. Because again, what made the temptation so tempting is they were all so familiar. They all represented things that were priorities in Jesus' heart. The hunger thing, the glory thing, throwing yourself off the temple. But this one, the Lord began to minister to me in a really profound way. And part of it is because, not just because of what I do, with my calling, but part of my calling is I have a responsibility. You have a lot of people, not just in the state, but in the whole archdiocese, and even around the world at some level, who have this similar calling as clergy. And they're the ones who get messed up in this the most. And but it's such a word for all of us, because everything flows out of this foundational truth. The devil said to him, he led him up in verse 5 and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment. And the devil said to him, I will give you all this domain and its glory, for it has been handed over to me, and I give it to whomever I wish. And therefore, if you'll just worship before me, it shall be all yours now. And Jesus answered and said to him, it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only. As you know, because of the fall, in Adam's fall, in Adam and Eve's fall, they handed over the keys of the kingdom to the enemy of this world. And that's why he could say, I have the authority. It's been given to me. I can hand you all this. I have the right to do that because it's mine. Jesus came when he announced the kingdom. You know, why was that one of the temptations? Because Jesus, when he started preaching, right after this temptation, his first preachings were, the kingdom of heaven is here to take over all this. So Satan was offering him something, and he was offering it to him with a shortcut. If you'll just fall down and worship me, because you see, Satan understood how important that was. He said, all this that you see, you don't have to go through anything else except just fall down, worship me, and I'll give it all to you. Now, that was Jesus' heartbeat, because that's about people. The kingdom of God overcoming the kings of this world is about the enemy's plunder being stolen, human beings who are broken and devastated, being destroyed because of the fall, being healed and made whole. So that was Jesus' heart. I mean, that's what he came to do. He was going to die and rise again. The church was going to birth the church is kind of the seals of the kingdom of God. The church isn't the kingdom of God, but we're like the army in the kingdom of God going to take the kingdoms of this earth, you know, for the kingdom of God. And you talk about it being a priority, a holy priority. That was Jesus had come to do, was to announce the kingdom and then to establish the kingdom and to create an army through his death, burial, and resurrection. It's all about the kingdom. So that had to be really tempting. But I love Jesus' answer. He said, it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Now here's the thing that so blesses me. There can be holy things that you're called to do that you know represent the purposes of God. All those things that he was tempted with could represent God's favor and purposes. This was the biggie. And yet Jesus didn't compromise. Now, when people compromise, they don't usually compromise. They don't know they're compromising with the devil. But what they're doing is deciding, I'm going to make this happen. I'm going to manipulate. You know, I'm going to force. I'm going to maneuver. I'm going to create things and pizzazz and fireworks and all kinds of stuff. You know, I watch it happen all the time with clergy and even people. Because I want to see this thing happen, and I want it to happen now. I want this to be successful now. And my motivation is pure. I want to see the kingdom come. And yet Jesus said this, everything God wants done, even those things are at the highest priority, all flow out of a worshiping life. And then we come back to what was the first and great commandment. We said it again this morning. What's our great priority? What's your great mission, first and foremost? To go serve? To get busy enough to get things done? I mean, people have a heart for the poor. They'll compromise and try to make it happen. Or they have a heart for souls and they'll try to force it to happen. You know, you've just watched it. People move in the flesh. I deal with it a lot. Jesus said, here's the first priority. To love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then everything about people flows out of that. And the second is like unto it, love your neighbors yourself. The word worship here is an amazing word. It comes from two little Greek words. One is to kiss, and the other is toward. And that's why many times people will interpret that word as adore, to love. And the word serve is just the word minister to minister to. And Jesus said, here's the deal. You know, Satan, that your purposes, you want to be worshipped because everything flows with authority and power out of that. But I'm not going to adore you to get there. I'm going to go to get there, and I want to get what you're offering. But I'm going to get there by loving him, adoring him, and ministering to him as the priority of my life. And we'll get there. But it'll flow out of a legitimate place that carries a real anointing and not just a flesh anointing that pushes and shoves and tries to make, even out of sincerity. You with me? That's always. And so I would say to you, what are there some things in your heart, even about other people, that you really are burdened for and you want to see it happen? And what's the first thing you need to do? Just go deeper. Minister to him more. Go love him more. Oh, I don't have time to do anything. I got to make this happen. I got to give it more time. No. Go worship more. Go love him more. Go adore him more. Go minister to him more. Because he can get more done out of that place in 5 minutes than you can in 5 hours. So you see, that's where you walk in an anointing, and you're not worn out when it's done. Amen?